Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Netweb Technologies Q2 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by IIFL Capital Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note, this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Renu Baid Pugalia. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Mark. A very good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of IIFL Capital, I thank the management of Netweb for giving us the opportunity to host their 2Q FY26 earnings call. From the management team, today we have with us Mr. Sanjay Lodha, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Navin Lodha, Whole-time Director, Mr. Ankit Kumar Singhal, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Hirdey Vikram, Chief Sales and Marketing Officer, and Mr. Sanjeev Sancheti, Julius Advisors LLP, IR Advisors to Netweb Technologies. I now hand the call to Mr. Sanjay Lodha for his opening comments. Thereafter, we can start the session for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. So thank you, Renu, good afternoon, and warm welcome to all of you to Netweb Technologies Q2 Financial Year 26 earnings call. We are pleased to share the quarter has been exceptional for the company. We secured two large strategic orders worth approximately $21,840 million to be executed by Financial Year 27, reaffirming our position as India's largest OEM in high-end computing solution space. Operating income grew by over 50% year-on-year in H1 26, while operating EBITDA increased by over 60%, delivering a healthy margin of 14.9%. PAT for the period stood at $619.1 million, up by 49.5% year-on-year, with 10.2% margin, reflecting strong demand, disciplined execution, and scalability of our business model. We have once again outperformed our stated growth guidance of 35%-40% CAGR, reaffirming our commitment to constantly deliver our promises. The strategic orders won are of national significance, aimed at strengthening India's AI compute infrastructure and advancing the vision of sovereign AI journey of the nation. By delivering world-class AI infrastructure designed, engineered, and manufactured in India, we are helping build nation's sovereign compute capabilities, accelerating its emergence as a global AI powerhouse, enabling citizen-centric services, and moving closer to the vision of making India the AI factory of the world. Beyond these strategic orders, our growth in the AI segment has continued to be very strong. The segment's revenue contribution rose from 14.7% in the first half of Financial Year 25 to 25.4% in the first half of Financial Year 26, reflecting an impressive growth of 160%. The performance underscores our steadfast commitment to in-house design and manufacturing of next-generation systems, fully compliant with Make in India vision and contribution to India's emergence as a global hub for high-end manufacturing. Netweb's continued focus on its three growth pillars, that is, high-performance computing, private cloud, AI system, is enabling us to capitalize on strong momentum across these segments. Supported by robust industry tailwinds, these core business positions us as a technology leader in the SCS space. This strength is reflected in our robust organic order book of $4,939 million as of September 30, 2025, together with recently secured large strategic orders of over $21,000 million and strong business pipeline. We are very well positioned for strong, sustained growth over the next few years. I now request Ankit to take you through the financials.
Thank you, Mr. Lodha. Good afternoon to all the participants. I would like to draw your attention to the safe harbor statement in the earnings call presentation. I request each one of you to go through the presentation before the Q&A starts so that you are aware of the same. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining our earnings call. Before we open the floor for Q&A, I will provide a brief overview of the financial performance for the quarter and the year gone by. I trust that by now you have had the opportunity to review our earnings presentation and press release. While our CMD has already discussed the macro outlook, I will elaborate on the financial performance, providing a more detailed analysis. Our operating income for Q2 FY26 increased by 21% YOY, reaching rupees 3,037 million. Our operating EBITDA for Q2 FY26 increased by 25% YOY, reaching rupees 454.6 million, while the operating EBITDA margin for Q2 FY26 was 15%. Profit after tax (PAT) for Q2 FY26 grew by 20.1% YOY, reaching rupees 314 million, while the PAT margin stood at 10.3%. Our operating income for H1 FY26 increased by 51.1% YOY, reaching rupees 6049 million. Our operating EBITDA for H1 FY26 increased by 60.6% YOY, reaching rupees 903.2 million, while the operating EBITDA margin for H1 FY26 was 14.9%, improving from 14.1% in H1 FY25. Profit after tax (PAT) for H1 FY26 grew by 49.5% YOY, reaching rupees 619 million, while PAT margin stood at 10.2%. Return on equity for the H1 FY26 was 22.4%, while return on capital employed for the same period was 30.2%. Our cash conversion cycle as on September 2025 stood at 120 days, reflecting an increase of 9 days compared to the previous quarter. The primary reason for this increase was the reduction in the payable days from 84 days in June 25 to 70 days in September 25. Receivable days improved from 124 days in June 25 to 117 days in September 25. It is important to note that advances received from the customers for large strategic orders have not been adjusted with the debtors while calculating the receivable days. Inventory days remained unchanged at 72 days across both quarters. Our balance sheet strength is reflected by us being a zero net debt company. The company had net free cash of rupees 2,379.8 million as on September 25. For the large strategic order, no additional capital expenditure will be required. Short-term working capital needs, primarily LC-based, have been already secured to ensure smooth execution. These orders are LC-backed, guaranteeing timely payments and eliminating credit risk. We remain firmly aligned with our strategic roadmap and growth priorities. With strong momentum through the year, a robust order book and a healthy pipeline, we are well positioned to deliver consistent revenue and profitability in current fiscal. With this, I now hand over the call to Renu Baid.
Yeah, we can now start the session for Q&A, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use the handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Akshay from AK Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible.
Yeah, thank you so much, sir. And my first question is, sir, apart from the 2,100 crore orders that we got, whatever effect that might have on our financials for up to of FY26 and FY27, apart from that, we are maintaining our organic growth guidance to 35% to 40% for the next couple of years. Is that understanding correct, sir?
That is very right.
Okay, sir. And sir, this is the significant order inflow that we saw in the last 1 month. So can we expect the same type of strategic orders in coming years due to the India AI mission in coming quarters or coming months?
Definitely, we are optimistic, but we will keep on reporting as and when we get the orders.
Okay, sir. Okay. And if you talk about the general trend and demand scenario for the the NVIDIA GPUs and our products in India, that would be helpful if you want to add some highlight over there, sir.
Yeah. So basically, I already mentioned in my talk that how basically AI segment has grown by 160% if you see year on year actually. And currently you are seeing the strategic order wins also. So definitely AI growth is completely going very, very strong all over the world actually. And we are very well positioned since we design and manufacture our products on the latest architecture of NVIDIA actually, and other basically on the complete GPU infrastructure in GPU based systems. So we have the latest product, and so that's the reason we are getting traction. And definitely we see as more and more workloads are completely diverting and making use of AI, I think we have better potential there also, that it will also keep on fueling the demand. The other area which I feel is that the government spending is really going up and up, because government understands that India can become the AI factory. They want to replicate the same thing which happened with the India became the software powerhouse of the world. They want to make India to become the AI factory of the world. So personally, I feel for coming few years, definitely AI is the segment which will be growing. But having said that, the other two segments which basically our business is not completely dependent on AI, please keep that in mind. The other two segments are very strong. Still more than 70% business still comes out with the other two segments, that is HPC and the private cloud, and both the segments are growing. If you have been observing our results for past few years, past few quarters and years, you will see that it has been constantly growing, and it has, though we are a company growing at a 35% CAGR, but still basically both the segments are constantly around 35% each, actually making to be 70% of the total revenue. So we personally feel that the other two other segments will be growing, and AI will grow in a better way.
Okay, sir. Okay. And small follow-up on that would be that today Indian government, Narendra Modi ji, has inaugurated RDI fund, 1 lakh crore of RDI fund for research and innovation. And in that, they are focusing mainly on AI, electronic semiconductor. So this will also affect positively to our companies, as well as the general AI trend or compute capacity in the India as well, right?
All the government is really instrumental on that, because basically AI is the biggest employment generator, is the government feels so, and definitely they want to basically create more employment. So AI, definitely government is focusing on AI.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much, and all the best for the future quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of CA Garvit Goyal from Invest Analytics Advisor LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Good afternoon, sir, and congrats for a good quarter. Sir, my question is on the order book side. Apart from this strategic order, our organic order book has grown significantly as compared to the previous quarter. So can you put some color on that? Like, is it any specific deal that we signed in this organic order book as well? Because there is a big jump as compared to the previous quarter.
So basically, as you know that, as far as I remember, you have been a constant attendee of my conference calls, and I really want to thank you for that. So you will definitely remember it, that basically I always say that my order book doesn't give you a clear, in my organic order book doesn't give you a clear indication how my business is performing, because my order cycle basically lasts from normal order cycle is 12 to 16 weeks is the execution cycle. So it can keep on growing, it can reduce or something of that nature. What you should focus is on the pipeline. I have a pipeline of around 4,000 crores, which doesn't include any strategic orders and the strategic pipeline. So 4,000 crore is the most important number which you should remember. So there is, and basically our gestation period for orders is around 6 months to 18 months. So we personally feel that keeps on fueling our revenue and the order book. So, and you have seen that constantly we are growing at what we have told you, 30 to 35%. So that gives me this number gives me the confidence that my organic business will keep on growing at the same rate.
Got it. And sir, secondly, on these specific deals, So you mentioned we will be reporting to the exchange as and when we get these deals. But can you put some color on that? Currently, are we into negotiation with anybody related to these kind of specific deals that are currently on?
Basically, because as I mentioned to you, strategic orders are large orders. There is an immense potential. You are fully aware how government is spending and how basically what kind of funds are being generated and all those things are there. You see today all the major GSIs, all the major global system integrators like TCS, Infosys, everybody is changing their complete strategy to AI services. So everybody is trying to develop more and more, use more and more AI. So there is business is coming from all sides actually, and we personally feel that basically strategic orders will be coming in, but we don't want to really announce it in advance. As soon as the deals are there and they become visible, we will keep on announcing them.
And what kind of margin do we have in these kind of specific orders, sir?
Let Ankit answer that. So, Garvit, look, these are very large orders, which are obviously these are different from our regular business orders. However, we are keeping and maintaining very healthy and sustainable margins. They can be like 150 to 200 basis points lower at PBT level.
Got it.
At the max, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is again very healthy.
Got it, sir. Thank you very much, sir, and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ensure the management can address questions from all the participants, please limit your inquiries to two per person. If you have a follow-up, kindly rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Anand B. from Ksema Wealth Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, congratulations, good set of numbers. The first question is, since the strategic orders have come, previously you've given a revenue guidance of 35%-40% year-on-year and EBITDA margin of 14% and PAT margin guidance of 10%-10.5%. So after these orders have come, do you have any revised guidance for the FY26?
So there is no revision in the guidance. We are maintaining 35%-40% growth for the regular business, and strategic orders are being informed separately. And for the EBITDA, the guidance remains same, 13%-14%, as we will be transitioning to large scalable orders.
Okay, but the realization of these orders will come by FY27?
Yeah, they will be executed by FY27, correct.
Okay.
Some portion, around one-third of these orders we expect to be executed in FY26, because the total order is somewhere around 2,100 crores approximately. So our expectation is 2,100 crores, out of 2,100 crores, one-third should get executed this financial year and balance should get executed in the next financial year. But please keep in mind that basically since these are all based on the latest technology and basically so delivery and other challenges, supply challenges can make things move from a month or two up and down.
Okay. And thank you for that. The last question I have is, in your presentation you not mentioned the breakup for in terms of industry vertical, that is higher education, IT, ITS, space and defense. Can you just provide for that for this quarter?
Yeah, that will remain, that has been remaining almost all same, but basically quarter on quarter basis, you cannot really judge it, because basically we don't monitor it quarter on quarter basis. Basically that's primarily on year basis. If you see, it will remain almost on the similar lines.
Okay. Because in the previous quarter presentation, you have mentioned the breakup. I just want to know if there's...
I will take that. So I'll tell you the reason why we were giving this this particular sheet earlier is because of the requirement of the ICDR regulation. This is not something which is very critical for tracking. It's more important to track segment-wise revenue, which we are giving. And hence, we are not going to report this quarter on quarter, because this is not something which we really feel is relevant and not necessarily and irrelevant data. Yes, on an annual basis, we are happy to discuss this.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prateek Singh from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity. Lokaji, just wanted to get a sense about this 2,100 crores order. So just to get it right, we would be providing servers and not cloud, right? Or would it be cloud also to government PSUs and departments who can then take it up at $3 per hour, $2.5 per hour, something like that?
It's a complete end-to-end solution which we provide.
Okay. So we would be providing cloud services as well, on top of.
No. So we do not give annuity services. We sell the product and the solution, and we get paid for it. It's a CapEx purchase for the buyer, and we do not do any annuity business.
Thanks for clarifying.
Understood. And sir, so in terms of NVIDIA, what we keep hearing that there is a very, maybe not now, but there used to be a long queue in terms of getting the latest chips. How has this changed over the past two, three quarters, and how are we confident of getting those chips? Have we placed orders for those chips, and some of them are already en route to us?
So basically, as you know, that we have a very strategic relationship with NVIDIA. We have an OEM partnership with NVIDIA, okay, which is basically there with very limited people in the world. Actually, less than 10 people have that. So we have a very, very strategic OEM partnership with them, wherein basically we design and develop products based on the latest chipsets. So we have sufficient allocations, and we get basically in this part of the region of the, not only India, in whole of this region, actually, we are the only company having that kind of a relationship with them. We are investing heavily into R&D and all that. So basically, we get new priorities from NVIDIA, and our supplies are quite basically much more streamlined. Even the days when GPUs were under acute shortage, even those days also, our supply lines were very much intact, which basically, if you see past results, you will see that. So we are very confident that we'll be securing and we'll be getting the chips and everything, not only from NVIDIA, from others also on time. But definitely, you are aware that how basically the compute demand is growing all over the world. Basically, everybody is trying to build compute capacity because basically the AI demand is soaring and is definitely requiring more and more compute. Definitely, we see a good opportunity there, and we are forecasting accordingly.
Thanks for this, sir. I'll join back. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vianney Menon from Monarch Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you. My name is Vianney Menon. So yes, a few questions. Congratulations first on the AI mission deal, sir. So any, sir, execution timelines which you can mention that H2, I think execution starts. But just to get an idea on, is it going to take 1.5 years for these two orders to finish, 1 year, anything like that, sir?
So at this point, thank you for your question. Actually, at this point of time, as I mentioned, basically one-third of the orders we are targeting to ship in financial year 2026, and balance will spill over to financial year 2027.
Okay. That helps, sir. And you mentioned in your presentation something about exploring foreign markets and four markets you mentioned. Any plan there, and if you can explain what the roadmap could be there?
Yeah. So basically, if you really see at this point of time, our exports is somewhere around 5% of our total turnover. I have not tracked it particularly for this quarter, but still, my team would have definitely tracked it. So basically, we still would like to guide somewhere around 5% to around basically this quarter, it was pretty low, but basically, overall, we are guiding annually around 5% to 6% of our revenue from exports, which was almost all zero 2 years back. So we are slowly building upon it because you see the compute demand locally is so heavy and so high. We want to first basically cater to that and accordingly move ahead with that. But we are slowly and steadily building our international exposure as well.
Okay.
May I just clarify on this point? Sorry, this is Sanjeev here. Just that the expectation is clear. See, this 5% to 6% is on our organic business. Now, this large order which we have got is obviously a domestic order, Hence, for these next two financial year, at least the overall percentage, if you look at the total top line of the company, this may be lower than 5%. I hope I've been able to explain what I wanted to say.
Yeah, that helps. So basically, these are pure exports, and you have mentioned that you're planning to set up something also so that you can do the servicing and other things. So, like, these are pure exports from our factory in Faridabad, or are we setting up some offices there to kind of get local demand abroad also?
So, basically, as regards at this point of time, we have not decided on setting up offices outside, but definitely we are setting up our service network first, because that is more important, because manufacturing primarily happens in India only. As and when we need salespeople and all that also, we may be think about setting our offices. But as you know, our customers are large enterprises. We are not into SMB, because you see around 50% of our business comes from government, around 50% of business comes from enterprise. This particular quarter, around 60% of business came from enterprise and 40% business came from government. So this keeps on shifting. But if you see over on year on year, it will remain around 50-50%. And basically, so the large enterprises are there. So we may need to set up some kind of basically service network. That is more important for us. But slowly and steadily, as once for more business development, as we need more people, we can think about it.
Okay, and just one last thing, sir. You see, there's a lot of news about, you know, Google and OpenAI coming and setting up data centers here. So are we planning to, you know, kind of tie up with any of these? Because these are all, you know, partners to NVIDIA. So I'm sure NVIDIA could kind of help us get a, you know, entry with these kind of large enterprises also. So any plans on that?
Yeah, actually, still these things are far off. Actually, still these are greenfield projects at this point of time. But you can, that very well arguments in the fact that the compute demand is growing in the country today, that hyperscalers are also coming to India and trying to set up. So definitely that is happening. But as and when the time comes, we will offer them the right opportunity.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I'll join with you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Shah from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats once again on great execution and large strategic orders. So the first question is, if I look at the government AI mission, as of now the approval is for 10,000 CR and we got two deals worth 1,000 bits. So addressable market within 10,000 CR was closer to around 40-50%. So that means 4,500 to 5,000 CR. So is it fair to assume we already won a wallet share of 45-50% and more strategic deal may come outside government AI mix rather than now?
So
Sandeep,
answer your question. First of all, I just want to clarify that the 10,000 CR which you're talking about, that is basically the fund allocation which is happening at the government's end. Whereas the orders what we are talking about is basically for setting up the complete infra. Okay, so what happens in this case? So the amount which government is going to allocate, that is going to be paid against the GP resources. Fine, so the amount cannot be related in this fashion. But I can certainly tell you that we are targeting more strategic orders also as and when the opportunity comes. And we are, as we answered initially also, that we are definitely working on that front. So as and when this opportunity comes, we'll keep notifying, keep informing the market. So this is, you know, in process and we are extensively working on that front.
Okay. So Vijay sir, if you can clarify as in, what you said in the second statement, 10,000 CR is the government related budget. So I didn't understand clearly.
I'll explain you that again. So basically, as you know, India Mission has got 7 pillars, which we have shared with you earlier also. So one of the pillar is basically for building up the in-house infra. Second pillar is basically for creating GPU resources and rendering GPU services to the end customer. So largely the requirement which we are going to address is going to be related to these two pillars. Rest of the pillars are like, you know, financing the startups, building the the other type of ecosystem which can mushroom the AI ecosystem in the country. So first two pillars are basically the main pillars. So when you talk about 10,000 CR, so 10,000 CR is going to take care of first two pillars as such. And that's the reason I said that when you talk about the order which we have taken, which is of 2,100 CR, will that basically fill the complete wallet share of ours? So answer is no. We have got many more opportunities which are going to be related to NDII mission. And as and when the opportunity will be built by us, we'll try to basically build more strategic orders as well. So I hope this answers your question.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, thanks. And just wanted to understand, we have already mentioned that this strategic order execution may not require incremental capex. But do you believe it may require some incremental employee strength or doesn't require because business runs on operating leverage rather than direct correlation with the employee and other expenses?
So, Deepji, you'll have to understand one thing. Because why are we getting these strategic orders? We are getting strategic orders because of our R&D strength. Okay, so R&D strength is very important because basically we are working on the latest chipsets and basically we are providing the state of art, the best kind of the solutions which are available around the globe. So we are not basically lagging behind with anybody. We are trying to give one of the best optimized solution actually working on the latest chipset. So R&D strength is helping us so as to build that. As regards to second question on the capex side, definitely we will not be needing capex because basically we have already mentioned that. And because we are, as you know that, we are not primarily a capacity driven organization. We are a capability driven organization. So as soon as we started working on Blackwell chipset, we immediately upgraded our lines and all that so that basically we can do that. So our lines are fully sufficient so as to do it. And as regards employment is concerned, again, basically ours is not that kind of a basically a very low end kind of work. Primarily most of the work is being done by engineers and all. So our strength when we went IPO was around 240 people. Today we are nearing around 600 people. So basically it's an ongoing effort which is going on and people are being added. So we are almost a double the size in almost all 2.5 years approximately. So people addition is definitely happening. More and more technical people are joining us. So all that basically gives us, makes us confident that we can do this without having many more changes. Other thing which I would like to point out as regards to manufacturing capabilities also, we have developed a new plant as I mentioned to you. The new areas and new integration units are being added almost all basically every time. So basically we have those kind of abilities. So hence we don't need any kind of capex.
Yeah, yeah, thanks. This is helpful. And this last thing in this quarter, if we look at private cloud and HCI, has been almost flattish both on Q-on-Q and Y-o-Y. I do agree one can't see in just one quarter. But how do you see the demand for the private cloud both from the private enterprise and the government enterprise?
Oh, definitely it is growing actually. If you really see, basically we have grown. If you really see, overall the growth has been there. Basically, again, on a quarter-on-quarter basis, you cannot really judge our kind of business, okay? Because basically, we are not into retail and something of that nature or SMB and all. If you see H1, H2 kind of thing, you can see the growth. So definitely, growth is there, but AI has been growing much more, actually. So I personally feel the way that you may be having also the information how the data center market in the country is growing at this point of time. So definitely there is a phenomenal scope and basically for that to grow. Hence basically once we say that we'll be growing our organic order book at around 35% will be growing at a rate of 35% CAGR. So that is being fueled by these two segments and still around more than 70% of business comes out these two segments and they have been constantly fueling our growth for many years. And we, for future also, we are very sure that these two will still remain our main pillars.
Okay. Thank you. I will come in the follow-up if I have more. Thanks. All the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vibhor Singhal from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir. Thanks for taking my question. So just two questions from my side. One is these strategic orders of around 2,000 crores that we have won, as you mentioned that we might not require any incremental capex on these. But given that these are government orders which typically would have a 3 to 4 month minimum receivable day cycle, do you think we would need some additional funding on our balance sheet to basically support the working capital that might be required for this? And if yes, are we looking at basically some ways of arranging for that?
So first of all, there is a correction. So the orders which we have taken is not directly from the government. So basically, you know, we are serving the India mission, but we are serving it through, you know, some of the panel, you know, organizations. So that is how our, you know, receivable or, you know, our payment structure is very well structured in this case. In fact, we wanted to highlight that part as well during the question. So good that you asked this question. So I think Ankit can emphasize more on that part. He can throw some light on that part. So, but yes, I mean, answering your first question, so it is not that we are not directly giving it to the government.
Got it. But in terms of working capital requirement, will this need any additional funding? Yeah.
Ankit can answer that.
Sure. So look, the large strategic orders are commercially very well defined. First of all, I'll let you know that we are receiving sufficient advance to have the cash accrual for these particular execution, and these are also LC-backed transactions. So we have secured the LC-backed limits to do the smooth execution of these projects.
So credit risk is almost all zero, actually. The entire deal is completely secured. We have advances from the customer, and the balance we have LCs. So the credit risk is almost all zero, actually, and very well planned to be executed. We may need some short-term LC kind of limits from the banks, which has already been secured, so we don't feel there are any financial challenges as such.
Right. But in the interim, as this project starts execution, we might see a bit of, let's say, increase in our line of credit that we take from the banks. But that, of course, as you mentioned, will get cleared off once the payments start coming from those projects.
So it will be transitionary.
Absolutely, sir. Perfect.
Very short term.
Got it. That's great to hear. So just on my second question, just to trying to understand the business. This year, if I look at the overall top line growth, it was around 20% on a YoY basis. If I look at the segmental numbers also, on a YoY basis, these were, let's say, in the AI enterprise business was around 20%. So our business, does it have kind of a seasonality in which Q3, Q4 tend to be quite strong, as would happen as because I think most enterprises and let's say institutions rush to basically complete their billing in the month of March. Is that the case in our business, that Q1, Q2 we tend to be, H1 tends to be a bit lower and H2 tends to be much higher?
If you see historical data, it will prove that basically our H1 is almost, H2 is always much better than our H1. But having said that, I like to tell you, even we had a very strong H1 this year. We grew by around 50%, because basically problem is that you'll have to understand that you cannot do a comparison of our business basically on a quarter on quarter basis. We are not into retail and something of that, FMCG or something of that nature.
So that's why I'm comparing on that.
It's dependent on some large and high-end compute we sell, and the customers are all enterprise customers or high-end government customers. So definitely if you see H1, H2 data for last few years, you'll definitely see that our H2 is always much more stronger than H1, and even though the H1 was very strong this time.
Right. So you mean to say that despite the fact that we have 51%, 50% growth in H1?
I will like to. Let me explain this. You will appreciate that a quarter bifurcation is bifurcated by one thin line of the last day of the month, right? 30th June, if you're billing something, it comes into the Q1, and if that billing spills over to 1st of July, then it will come to Q2. So this Q1, Q2 for our kind of business is very, very difficult for you to track. Q1, we grew at 100%. Now, if somebody is expecting that they're going to go Q2, Q3, Q4 at 100%, we are not even guiding that. So so you need to look it at a YTD basis. Otherwise, and you've answered this question umpteen times, and we will answer the same thing, that please look at it at a YTD basis. Please look at our guidance, where we have always guided 35 to 40% on an annual basis, and we have performed better than that. And this movement from Q1 to Q2, it could be different the next time. It's just that one day, you know, it matters. And our orders are so large that we cannot not build something which requires to be built on the last day of the month and move it to the next day to smoothen this quarter on quarter. We can't do that.
No, obviously, sir. I think nobody would want you to do that any which way. I think the business looks in good shape without that as well. Perfect, sir. So got that idea very well. Just one last kind of a bookkeeping, but just one last bookkeeping question from my side. I mean, a very trivial one. So this entire strategic order that we have got, we would be booking the revenue whenever it starts accruing in the AI enterprise segment, or would we be carving out a separate segment for these orders?
This will be basically, most of it will get booked into the AI segment actually.
AI segment only.
Yeah.
Got it, sir. Great, sir. Thank you so much for taking my questions.
Will always be reported separately. Our basically organic and strategic will be reported separately.
Separately. Got it, got it. Great, sir. Thank you so much for taking my questions and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Srinivasu K from TIA. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is about there is a huge competition across computer vendors across the world like NVIDIA, AMD and Intel, and there is a high chance that GPU prices will be falling down. So what is your pricing playbook to handle this? Do you pass through most of this pricing decline or retain the same spread to protect your 14-15% EBITDA margins?
So basically, we are not box pushers actually. If you see our trajectory very clearly, you will see that basically we build our systems, we have our own software stack, and basically it's not primarily a system sale or a box sale. So basically we are not impacted by such kind of things, but basically we are already, if you see our technology providers as NVIDIA, Intel and AMD, all the three are there. So basically whatever technology comes from whichever vendor and whichever gains traction, we are equally equipped to handle it. But as regards your question on the practically on the margin side of it, the margin is for our basically the kind of efficient systems which we build. We try to create a differentiator for us, the kind of unique situation which we want to do, and plus the software stack we have, the services stack which we have. So that definitely helps us to retain our margin constantly, because if you see around 10% PAT we have been maintaining continuously, and the competition is normally is all on lower single digit kind of margin. So that differentiates us from them. But coming back, still my temptation to answer you will be there that still NVIDIA has been the market leader by several times actually. This service as regards the GPUs are concerned, over with NVIDIA, over with AMD and Intel, and though definitely both the other companies are also promising and they are also trying their level best, but with this point of time, the market situation, for at least some more time, it feels like that GPU will be dominated by NVIDIA. Hello?
Yes, sir? The next question is from the line of Mr. Anuj Kasab from A3 Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, I'm audible.
Yes.
Yes, sir. You're audible.
First of all, congratulations, Mr. Lodha, for the superb set of numbers. Sir, just as a leader, sir, I just want to know from your side, can you paint a 3 to 5 years picture for us, for as a company, as a stakeholder in your company?
Thank you. Thanks for your question, actually. So basically, if you really see the funnel, if you really see how the business is growing, that can be seen from the funnel. So basically, the funnel is somewhere around, we are sitting at a funnel of around 4,000 crore plus funnel, actually. And as I've been mentioning, the conversion ratio is around 60%. And that basically, that keeps on adding every day. And the normal time for conversion is between basically 6 months to 18 months for us. So basically that gives me the confidence that I will keep my growth at least 30 to 35% for at least for 3 years to come. So that exactly would be my guidance actually as regards the organic situation is concerned. Definitely on the strategic side, I would not like to guide, because that's the something basically as it comes we report.
And sir, add on to this, sir, as you mentioned that the funnel right now is 4,000 crore plus. And sir, how sustainable that funnel itself is growing, like 6% to 7-8%. What is your assumption in regard to?
Yeah, so basically, again, the funnel doesn't include any of the strategic actually. The strategic funnel is not included in the funnel. It is basically our organic funnel which is there. So basically, it keeps on, because since the order sizes and the technology refresh and all those things keep on coming, at times it grows by 15%, at times it grows by 6%. So, but basically, constantly, I'm very sure that that will keep me. At times I have seen it growing even by 30%, because basically if there is a large order in the pipeline, immediately keeps on growing. So that gives me the confidence that it will keep my growth momentum on.
I may be wrong, sir. Like you said, the funnel itself is there. We cannot, you are absolutely right, so we cannot estimate how the funnel will grow. Like data is the new oil. It's like NetWeb is like refinery parts for the oil refinery, right, sir? Like if we have to build a case basis for that.
I didn't get you. Please come again, sir.
So, sir, I guess I was making a hypothesis like in the oil boom, when oil was growing, data is the new oil. If data is growing by leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
So same way, like from 1970s to, if you compare, so we also will be same position only right now.
Yeah, so basically I'll tell you, if you have to see the business in a different way actually. The three segments which gives you generates 90% of my business. You see the supercomputing we are doing for 20 plus years. If you see none of the business, we have started just yesterday. So supercomputing we are doing for 20 plus years and it has been constantly growing for us. And the, you see how the supercomputing adoption has increased. Basically various domains, various areas, all kind of automobiles, research and development, even consumer companies for R&D, they are also using it. So supercomputing is growing. Data center boom, I don't need to even explain on this call the how India is currently experiencing the data center boom. So private cloud and HCI will keep on growing for that. You can very well understand, gone are the days of bare metal kind of thing. So basically everything will be done on the, basically on the everything. As the data center grows, the private cloud market will grow. And AI again is a growth momentum. So all the three areas which we are there, they are all growing actually. And we don't want to basically primarily over kind of overcommit or something of that nature. But still I personally feel that the growth momentum, giving the tailwinds and all that, it definitely gives me quite very confident that I'll keep on growing at 30-35%.
And sir, last one, sir, if I may push in. Sir, as in board, like, do we have discuss or do we even have this on table, like, as a company, if we all want to enter into data centers or, like, some other lever we want to attach to our company? That's just as a discussion.
No, sir. Basically, we have discussed it phenomenally, but personally, our business model is different. We don't want to get into setting up data centers or providing cloud services directly, because basically all our customers try to do it. So our forte is primarily R&D. We try to do R&D on completely on hardware, designing our hardware completely in India and manufacturing it completely. Then basically the software ecosystem, software stack. So basically we have almost all zero or very negligible dependency on third party. Most of products are designed and manufactured by us. So the focus is more on that. But at this point of time, we don't have any plans to set up data centers or getting into cloud services.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. Sir, just one question, sir. As a company leader, to whom in Indian market, to whom you see yourself as an, which company do you see your competition with? Just as a...
That is a very difficult question for us. At points, basically, we have a very unique solution actually, and unique product. And I personally, in the Indian market,
I wanted to get out of your mouth, out of your house's mouth, is like, you are the one in the industry, right? Then
I will not like to say that. Basically, so some few companies getting together, because primarily about is a hardware software kind of combination. Hardware and software companies can come together and try to build and to give a solution. I don't say that I have a monopolistic situation or something of that nature. But definitely we have an advantage. The way we have designed and we have kept our focus. Please understand that we never got into volume manufacturing. We never got into box selling. So that has actually kept us, basically the uniqueness in the company, very much intact.
Yes, sir. I remember last time also you mentioned that we deal customer to customer, like whatever SOPs you get from them, you deal accordingly with them, like university is different study case, ISRO different study case.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, request you to please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is on the line of Bharat Gulati from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Sir, I wanted to understand a little deeper on the your cloud, private cloud segment. So that's almost contributed 34% this quarter, but our margins are still at around 15%. Now, what I understand is that private cloud is a high margin business. So what kind of offerings do we exactly provide in our private cloud business?
So first of all, you know, what you might be comparing us with, that we provide the complete private cloud stack, but we don't render cloud services. That is one. Second is that the stack, you want to understand what does it comprise of. So first of all, it is comprising of the complete hardware, the middleware and the cloud stack, and which we integrate with the end customer utilities. That is how we build the complete private cloud. So we have got two, you know, solutions available. One is called Skyless and second is Skyless.ai, which is also related to AI, but we are also using as part of you know, our private cloud solutions as well. So that is how we offer our you know, solution. And how do we compete is that the traditional way of doing private cloud design. So we basically do not need any commercial virtualization software in order to deliver this solution. So that is how we basically provide a unified stack comparing with as compared to the other options which are available in the market, wherein, you know, you have to have the hardware separately purchased, network separately purchased, you know, have to have the virtualization commercial software available. So that all is not needed in our case.
So, sir, it would be right to understand that we don't provide any software as such when we talk about private cloud. It's more the infrastructure that we are setting up on-prem for our customers. Would that be the right understanding?
No. First of all, as I explain you three layers: hardware, middleware, and the cloud stack. So cloud stack and middleware are basically the software only.
So so if you're providing them the cloud stack, then wouldn't that work out to higher margins in our case?
Please understand that we are not selling the cloud stack separately, because normally, basically, if I sell only the cloud stack, then the cloud stack can have higher margins. But we are selling the compute solution, and we see selling the compute solution, hardware and software all together, definitely the kind of margins we are commanding are very comfortable margins, and particularly all this is being sold and basically to the enterprise customers. So the kind of margins which we are commanding, like basically if you take my competition, they will take a hardware, like they will take a Dell machine and they will take a hypervisor separately from a software company and try to bundle it and then try to sell it. Whereas in my case, it's completely end to end. So I hope that makes you understand very clearly.
Right. Okay, sir. So, and would it be possible to give what verticals are our customers in for our private cloud system? I mean, not specific customer names, but what verticals and what segments do they operate in?
The presentation covers all that.
Oh, presentation, if you really see that, that has got the details. If you see that in detail, it is mentioned there. Because basically, our customers are ITES companies, enterprise companies, different wide variety of customers use our solutions actually.
Right, sir. Okay, got it, sir. Thank you. That's it from that.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Miloni Mehta from Monarch Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to understand what is the margin profile on these AI mission orders and how do we compare it with your existing HPC and enterprise business segments?
So we already answered.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you just maybe give a margin range for AI mission orders?
So as a policy, we do not disclose order-wise margin analysis. So from the margin perspective, these large orders will be different from regular. That's what we have told. And still, the margins are will be on the lower side, like 150 to 200 basis point at PBT level. That is what we can guide.
So margins, you can say, is slightly lower, but basically we are guiding at this point of time on the strategic orders. It is, as Ankit mentioned to you, will be 150 to 200 basis points lower. Otherwise, basically, I have strong margins.
So, okay. So
So, but other than margin, I think there are other factors which have to be looked at. You know, that these are all risk-free transactions and all, the way we have made a very robust, you know, payment structure. So, all those factors are also required to be looked at.
And keeping the size and the scale of these engagements, we feel that these are the top-notch quality margins that we have maintained.
Okay, got it. And secondly, specifically on Skylus.ai, can you share some insights on what kind of market traction or adoption trends that we are seeing?
So Skylus.ai is definitely, you know, helping us to create a lot of traction in the market. Reason being, the way we have designed this solution, this is basically completely revolutionized the AI space, because, you know, we are providing the complete hardware along with the layer of AI stack, which helps customer to get the user onboarding done, GPU abstraction done. So there are many such features which customers were looking for many years, and we were working on that front for last, you know, 4 or 5 years, and that has resulted into Skylus.ai. So from that perspective, I think the kind of growth you are seeing in our case in the AI domain, that is basically definitely contributed by the latest architecture of our systems as well as the software stack like Skylus.ai.
Okay, got it. So that's it from my end. Rest of my questions are already answered.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is on the line of Sumit Jain from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So firstly, wanted to check around your R&D cost. I mean, do you disclose your R&D cost as a percentage of sales? And in terms of number of patents being filed this year compared to last year, given you have mentioned that, you know, a lot of your solutions are pure tech-led with a lot of software and hardware design. So just a glimpse of R&D cost and patent filing.
So basically, as regards R&D cost, we have been mentioning it time and again that we spend around 3% of our turnover primarily into the R&D, and that is a practice because basically a lot of R&D happens in our company. That is one. And the second is, as regards patents, we have been regularly filing patents and we have been getting approvals also. So though we started late, we started filing patents around 3-4 years back. And basically, but we have some, I think, some number of patents. I don't remember the number actually, that, but that might be mentioned on our website. So basically, but we are very, very prompt in getting, registering our patents and designs and all that. So all that is in, is constantly being done.
Also, I would like to add that we do not capitalize any R&D costs. So primarily, it's been the people cost, software required for the R&D, lot of testing equipment goes. All these are expensed off in our P&L. We do not capitalize it.
Got it. That's helpful. Secondly, wanted to check around your market share in, you know, the 3-4 segments you highlight in your investor deck, and you have also given the overall market sizing in each one of them. And it seems like your market share is in single digits in each of those categories. Since we don't get any overall, you know, market share data or anything in any of these categories, can you briefly flag, I mean, are you gaining market share, losing market share, or it's largely stable?
So basically, because you have to understand that we are basically not a box seller, okay, and we are primarily, we are not into SMB and those kind of areas. So just coming specifically to like supercomputing, so HPC, the total market would be around what we feel is somewhere around 4,000 crores. Currently the market which we are addressing is somewhere around 1,000 crores. Out of that, we are doing around 400 to 500 crores approximately. So basically addressable market for us is around 1,000 crores because the other market is primarily ISV driven. And basically that market is not targetable for us. It will take me a long time to explain you those details over this call. So out of that, so I personally feel around 30 to 35% of the market share is being governed by us. Okay, and coming to the second segment, that is private cloud. So private cloud, you know that we are primarily focusing only into large enterprises. We are not selling into the small and SOHO and medium enterprises. And you know how the data center business is growing. It's very difficult to clearly capture the kind of market size actually, because it's data center market is growing like anything. and basically data center market is growing into different areas. So basically SMB would be some portion of it, but basically as regards the large enterprises are concerned, we have gained traction and with a lot of users and large enterprises. So basically there we have a good market share, and plus 35% kind of growth which we are seeing constantly. So definitely in the segment we are working upon, we are doing quite well. Again, coming to AI. Now AI, basically the total market size determination has been an issue actually, really speaking, because by the time we start determining the market size, the market share becomes double or triple actually. But basically if you really see the kind of strategic deals which we are trying to get in, and we are trying to get into the enterprise segment of it, so definitely we are very, very comfortably placed. And basically our order book, our strategic wins, our R&D expense can all justify all that. So that's exactly in short I would like to answer you.
No, that's very helpful. And maybe my next question is around your order book. I mean, it seems it's pretty lumpy. And obviously now you have got the Indian government order, so it's even more lumpy. But can you just flag, you know, going forward, let's say over a 3 to 5 year period, do you expect your order book to remain lumpy, or do you expect a very high level of repeat order book?
I contradict you. My order book, basically my business is not lumpy at all actually. You need to really see and observe my business for at least 3 to 4 years, and you will find that it is not lumpy at all. And I have always been telling you that my order book is not the real, basically will not give you the visibility of my business. Last quarter the order book was quite low, but still the business happened. So basically what is happening is that, and why that is happening actually, because basically the order cycle is somewhere around 8 weeks to 16 weeks for me. Okay, so basically the order execution cycle is very fast. So basically you have to see the funnel actually, the 4,000 crore worth of funnel which I have, the organic funnel which we have, that gives me constant revenue and basically around 60% kind of conversion rate. So that gives me robust revenue, and that gives me the confidence of my growth of 30 to 35%. If you see constantly, we have been growing at these rates actually. And order books, basically, I have never been saying that you can gauge my business based on my order book actually, really speaking. So I personally feel my business is not lumpy at all. I contradict that.
In fact, I would like to also add here, very pertinent, that if my business was lumpy, then I wouldn't have a 75% plus repeat customer. So I think probably a few quarters, once you start tracking, then you will get to understand it is not lumpy. We do not chase annuity revenue. We do not chase repeat. We target refresh cycles. And hence, when the refresh happens, the present order will always be much larger than the previous order.
And what is typically this refresh cycle timeline? Like it is 2 to 4 years? How long is it?
I will answer that. If you see we work with all the major technology providers like Intel, AMD, Nvidia and all. So if their refresh cycle is somewhere around 12 to 18 months, and what we have seen with our customers is basically approximately between 3 to 5 years. So if you see, I think 70% is 3 years and some of it is 5 years.
Got it. And lastly, want to check the operating leverage in your business. I mean, we have seen EBITDA margins being largely in that 14% band for now 3 to 4 years, despite the revenue growth being very strong. So any comments around operating leverage in your business?
So overall, what we can guide is the operating margin, which will obviously inclusive of the leverage if is going to come. So the margins are expected to be between the range of 30 to 14%, including all the operational leverage that will be getting.
Okay, fine. Thanks a lot for patiently answering all my questions, and all the best to your team.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you for your patience and basically putting your questions. Definitely, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
On behalf of IIFL Capital Services Limited, thanks for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.